Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
So, Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is commonly referred to just as Tourette's, and it's a condition where some people experience involuntary movements or sounds that they can't help making, and these are known as tics. Like many syndromes and conditions, Tourette's usually starts in childhood, but it can develop later in life. Again, like other syndromes, there's no set strength with which these people are affected by it. There can be very mild symptoms, all the way to very severe. It's quite important to know and understand what Tourette's syndrome is, because given some of the symptoms, it can be very unique to deal with, whether it's yourself or someone you know. Not only this, but nowadays, with inclusivity and mental health being talked about more and more, understanding and being open with the conditions that people live with every day helps to promote and support these important conversations. So let's have a look at the symptoms of Tourette's syndrome. Well, like all syndromes and conditions, Tourette's has many different symptoms. Most of them develop in the early stages of childhood, but they can develop later in life and become rather problematic. Tourette's syndrome is quite a unique condition when it comes to symptoms, as there is one symptom that's commonly associated with Tourette's, and that's swearing and saying crude, rude things quite loud in public. Now, swearing is one of Tourette's symptoms, with only about 1 in every 10 people who have Tourette's showing this symptom. Now, the reason why this is often seen as the main and often the only symptom is because swearing out loud in public can be very disruptive and lead to all kinds of problems. People associate Tourette's with swearing because of its noticeability, but there are other symptoms that come with it that might carry less of the shock aspect, such as saying involuntary and inappropriate things, blurting without intention, because there's no subconscious editor at work to prevent these outbursts. The physical tics that people experience can be mild or severe, depending on the severity of the Tourette's. Physically, they can range from a slight head twitch to jumping and grabbing other people. Vocally, they can include grunting and saying random words, making random noises, and of course, swearing out loud, or saying things and keeping talking, without noticing physical, social cues. That these aren't painful in their setting. They can be disruptive and cause awkward situations, which certain people may find uncomfortable, especially those with social issues. Now, with that said, though, it doesn't mean that certain symptoms can't become painful. You know, if you could imagine the constant movement and jerking of heads and limbs, muscles can, of course, generate pain. People with Tourette's can often gain a sense of when a tic might be coming along, similarly to how everyone can tell when a sneeze is on its way. And this is known as premonitory sensation, the sensation that people who suffer Tourette's experience with depends on the tic itself. So, for example, a common premonitory sensation can be having a dry throat before feeling the urge to grunt. Just like sneezes or itches, the sensation that people experience are only satisfied once the tic has happened. But just because tics act like sneezes in that they can be sensed before they arrive doesn't mean they can't be controlled. Whereas the blurting aspect offers no advance warning, just suffering later with consequence and regret. So let's talk about the causes of Tourette's syndrome. Well, a tic can be compared to a sneeze. They're vastly different. Sneezes are natural measures that our body takes to keep dust and dirt out of our system. To reiterate, they are quite natural. Tics, on the other hand, are neurological, which means they have something to do with the brain function or dysfunction. Scientists and doctors haven't yet discovered what it is that causes Tourette's. The current research suggests that it has something to do with the part of the brain that deals with movement. Because of this, there's no current way of diagnosing Tourette's syndrome. If you've experienced tics for some time, you may be better off seeing a specialist or a neurologist. But if the brain relates to Tourette's, then the brain can control Tourette's, right? So how can this happen? The difficulty with Tourette's comes with its severity, and because of its randomness in terms of severity and diagnosis, it means that controlling tics can come down to the individual. Some people are able to control them in certain social situations, or at least limit their urge and their frequency. For others, though, at moments of high concentration, tics can go away. Therefore, constant levels of high concentration may be the way to tackle tics, but this obviously is very difficult to achieve. This is only a short-term solution to Tourette, so is there actually a cure? Well, currently there is no cure for Tourette's. Given its unknown origin, of course, there can't really be a cure because we don't really know what's wrong. Now, with that said, though, besides being personally able to control them, maybe, there are treatments that can be taken to deal with them. And the two main treatments that people can take are, well, medicine, and a type of therapy known as behavioural therapy. The medicines that can help deal with Tourette's includes Orap, Haldol and Xenadine. But these can cause side effects like weight gain and sometimes quite severe depression. Medicines are usually only recommended if tics are quite severe and the effect of sufferers is frequent. So, that reason, behavioural therapy might be the better suited treatment for most people, because research has shown there are two types of behavioural therapy that have reduced and related and treated tics, and these include habit reversal training. Habit reversal training involves finding out what can trigger these tics. And from this point on, depending on what it is, of course, solutions can be made and proposed to help avoid these triggers. If it's something that can't be avoided, then solutions to finding ways of relieving the tic in a potentially less severe way could be experimented with. And then there's exposure with response prevention. Exposure with response prevention, ERP, essentially acts as practice to control your tics. You're exposed to what triggers the tics, and then you work with the specialised therapist to find out ways of reducing them. You can keep doing this until you've learnt how to control your tic effectively, or at least to the point where it's no longer a problem for you. Now, Tourette's syndrome affects many people around the world. And while we've spoken about its elusive nature, it's estimated that in every 1,000 children, there are up to 10 of them suffering from this condition to some extent. Regardless, Tourette's is a condition that seriously affects the way people live their lives. And understanding more about it can help people who suffer from this syndrome feel not quite so excluded, because we're able to embrace people for who they are and what they have. Now, it might seem amusing to people who don't have Tourette's, but for some who suffer daily, this is their life. So being understanding towards those who may act in a strange way will help make them feel more comfortable and more relaxed in social settings, and relieving some of their symptoms and angst. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.